Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And it is another Thursday night, and of course you're right here on LA Talk Radio, and we're right here in the studio, and my name is Jim Christina. I am the host of this evening show called The Writer's Block. And across from me is Bobby Jean Bell, taking pictures with her little Apple phone.
Oh, we haven't had anybody in the studio with us for a while, so, you know, we love to capture it when the guest is here.
I always take pictures of the phone, though, because that's where they usually are. The Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing, the nice folks in Black Dog, in Simi Valley, California. And if you're a new writer or trying to figure out how to negotiate your way through the system, give us a call. The number there is 805-795-3165, and they'll be happy to help you. And by Out West Boutique and Cultural Center. And that number is?
661-347-9700.
Yay! I love it when you get through that. It's like Henry. It's like Henry when he does his whole title and he doesn't.
It's a little shorter.
Yeah. And, of course, Target Freight Management. And take it away, Bobby.
Since 2009, Target Freight has had a full truckload service that's the best in the industry. They go to great lengths to secure the most competitive rates possible. TFM also provides unmatched customer support from their dedicated truckload division. In an effort to streamline their customers, they offer overall shipping efficiency. TFM provides real-time updates on all lanes. Call TFM today at 1-844-653-7789 and tell them you heard it on The Writer's Block, and they'll have a little something extra for you.
And it is a little something. And if you are an LTL shipper, we know you're looking for the best rates with the least hassle. Call Target Freight Management. Their customized transportation management system is just a ticket to getting your freight moved your way. Call Target Freight Management today. Their number there is 888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfmi.com on the web for both truckload and LTL. Call today. You won't be disappointed. And you won't be. And there we have it.
There you have it.
Paid the bills another week. Yay. Okay, we have another guest in our studio tonight. We're so thrilled. We have our favorites, and when they wander in, or actually they ride in my car, I'm only going to give you a little bit of this because God, we've read his bio. I don't know how many times now. What is this, your third time?
It is his third time. He's a reoccurring guest.
I know he is a reoccurring guest.
Alumni.
And every time he writes a book, he's back on the, studio.
Yep, again. Yep.
And this one is really
good. It's really good.
Well, our guest tonight is Richard Palinelli, and Richard was born in Turlock, 1964. So that makes him what?
Younger than you. Yes.
And me. He began his writing career as a freelance writer in Odessa, Texas, and gained his first fiction credit serving as a lead writer for the first two issues of the Elite Comics sci-fi fantasy series Sea Dragon. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Wow. 1991, Richard began his sports writing career at the Gallup Independent before moving on to work for the Modesto Bee. Now, I've heard of that paper before. That was a big one with Peterson and, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They had their run.
Yeah, and Turlock Journal, Merced Sun Star, Tracy Press. Boy, you were all over the Central Valley, weren't you?
Yep.
San Mateo County and the San Francisco Examiner. Wow, San Francisco. I'm impressed. He also served as an editor and photographer with some of the newspapers. He also wrote for several online publications. That's as far as I'm going to go with Richard because we all know who he is.
We'd be here the whole show if you tried to read the whole book.
Exactly.
I know. And, you know, it's just three quarters of a page.
Uh-huh.
And then we have lyrics down here at the bottom.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And the lyrics are for what, Bobby?
Oh, Hotel California.
Hotel California.
I had to look it up.
And there is a reason that the lyrics for Hotel California is... on Richard's biography page. And the reason is that Richard's new novel just came out last month.
January 14th.
Yeah.
January
14th.
Boy, you need to either speak up or I got to turn you up.
Okay.
Okay.
How's
that? That's better.
I'm in the room this time.
Richard's new novel is called Escaping Infinity, and what a read.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. You get into it, and it's just like it's a pounder.
When you read the opening section and then you read chapter one,
yeah.
did you feel like, wait a minute, what book am
I? Yes.
Wait a minute.
It was like two separate stories.
Two separate stories, and even the style of writing was
yes.
different.
Yes.
And
but I caught that.
Like, wait, did he? Because he sent this to me electronically, and I'm thinking, wait, is there something? Okay, no, I guess I better just keep reading.
Is this
reading.
Two different books? Did you screw this up?
Oh, my gosh.
But I know this was your labor of love, Richard.
Yeah, it was.
And I have to tell you that it's like I wrote in my review for Amazon for you, that this book, no matter what you write, you're the kind of writer that can write make it work. And this is a science fiction all the way through. And this book, and you even mentioned Peach Cobbler.
Oh,
God
yeah.
bless
oh,
you.
Oh, yes. We've got the Old West in
we'll
there.
We'll be speaking we've about got, that later.
Yeah,
but, oh, my God. We got Old West in here. We got everything.
We got everything.
And I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit about this book, but I just want to gush on it for another second or two because I just loved it.
Do you want to read something of what you wrote? Do you want to read a little?
Do you have it?
Yeah, I have your review. It's right there. Jim Christina, review number one, hot off of Amazon.
Oh, here we go. This is a review that I gave Richard.
Yesterday.
And now our entire listening audience was going to hear this review. As I have read now three of Richard's books and interviewed him twice on my show, I found Escaping Infinity to be the most surprising yet the easiest read of all. The story is compelling, and you really have no idea where the protagonist is taking you except to try to escape the inevitability of the Infinity Hotel. As the author says, thousands have checked in and no one has checked out. What is it with the Infinity that draws folks in yet refuses to let them leave? The answer lies in the crafting of the story that intricately weaves past, present, and future to one fulfilling moment in time when all is answered, yet there is still another surprise around the corner. Richard Palinelli is nothing if not an outstanding writer of science fiction genre and a good literary fiction. I am proud to consider Richard a friend, fellow writer, and an author of outstanding abilities in any field with which he tries his hand.
Well, I thank you very much for that.
You're very welcome.
A thousand blessings upon your house.
And I have to tell you that my camels appreciated it. And if it sounds like I'm snotty tonight, it's because I'm trying to get over this stuff. But I really did. I meant it, every word of it, and I love that book. I don't gush very often, but I'm gushing. I guess
there were times when I just we don't want spoiler alerts. I mean, this is part of this is like a book you want to
you
talk
do not
about,
want spoiler but, alerts in this book.
You know, and I would you know, I do read pretty late at night, and I would be like, what? Wait, what? Wait a minute, what?
You know what I found amazing is I did not find myself going back and try to figure out what he was talking about.
No, I didn't either.
I didn't have to do that one time.
No, I really wanted to just keep.
I know.
You know, moving forward.
Yeah, I never had to go back a couple pages and say, okay, wait a minute, what is that? And,
right.
No,
yeah.
Didn't have to do that.
Well, I was hoping that would be the case because I was, especially with the way it opens, because it is such a difference from the prologue to where chapter one starts. I mean, we go from third person to first person.
Back and forth.
I was worried about making sure you know the only time you're going to be in first person is when you're dealing with Peter.
Right.
From his point of view.
Right.
And then there was going to be things that the reader had to know.
Right.
That Peter couldn't possibly know. So that's why I had to do the back and forth switch. And that's difficult to do because you got to make sure everybody's aware. Okay, we're back on Peter. Okay, now we're off on somebody else, and make sure that's very clear because that would cause confusion.
Right.
And I'm glad to hear that that didn't happen.
No, it didn't. It didn't. Yeah. And what I really liked was that about two-thirds of the way through the book, you actually got the explanation of the prologue, which really made – then all of a sudden everything clicked together and it became one big story.
It did click for me, but then I began asking other questions. And it's about time. It's about the sort of the whole time. You know, I don't read a lot of science fiction. The science fiction I've read has been because of this show. And I think if you love science fiction, there's already some things you just sort of know about time and time travel. And you get into not algorithms and things, but you know, there's science. There's some science thrown in there that if you read this regularly, you might kind of go like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I could. Oh, the sphere goes in the tunnel and it goes. Oh yeah, yeah. He's, you know." I'm like, for me, it's all, you know, a new ball of wax.
Yeah, we were talking about bubble drives on the way.
Yeah, bubble drives. Yeah, like.
And wow, I mean, I'd never even heard that concept before. And bubble in front, bubble in back, and. And you speed in the between.
Well, the book is dedicated to my science teacher up in North Dakota, Charles Wells. And if he's listening tonight, a million thank yous to him for getting me interested in science. Because without that interest, I don't think I would be writing science fiction right now.
Uh-huh.
So that curiosity that he helped build, like I was telling you earlier, I read every science story that comes across the internet. And I'll take bits and pieces of things from what I'm reading and just see, okay, let's say that we get past the, no, we can't do that right now. We can do that. What can we do with it? And then that kind of works its way into the stories.
Well, it worked in nicely because the story is phenomenal.
We're, of course, gushing about it because we've both read it, and so we're sort of just jumping in. Why don't you just, and we don't want to do spoiler alerts, so
no.
why don't you just take a moment and kind of tell our listeners about a little bit about the book we're talking about?
Well, I guess we could just start where I got the idea for it. It actually started years ago. I was listening to Hotel California, and that one line of you can check out any time you like, but you can never leave, stuck with me one day. And I got to thinking, well, that would be a great story to write, but not as a straight ripoff of the song.
Right.
Take that concept of you're in a place and you can't get back out. How would you deal with that? What would you do? A couple of years later, I didn't really have the story down yet. A couple of years later, I was dealing with a recurring nightmare I was having. Of being in a cave or a tunnel or some kind of passage, and get to the end of the passageway, can't go any further, no problem, I'll just turn around and go back. But as you turn around, everywhere you turn is just solid wall. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on with that, and for a solid week of dealing with that, and I finally, it was my subconscious telling me a project I was working on, just keep going forward, don't turn back, don't go off to the side with it, just keep pushing forward and you'll get through. The next time the dream came up, I pushed through the wall. Problem solved. Mm-hmm. But then that night, it was also the light switch went off, the little 5-watt bulb that hangs out of the
bulb. Yeah.
It's like, there's the story. The guy, he's trapped in there. He's trying to find the way out. And every time he finds the way, there's another barrier there. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of gave me the basic structure. And it was just spending, a few more years getting the pieces put together. I was telling Jim, the ending to the book that you read is not the original ending at all. It's not even close. But I got it down and I looked at it and I'm like, that just doesn't work. Out you go, and then we had to start all over again. I hit the mic again.
You did.
It's okay.
Hey, you beat the mic up.
I don't like this mic.
No, Mike doesn't like
funny.
You either.
So it just took a lot of time to do it, and I think that's why I like the book so much, because it took so long to get it, and I think I got it right.
Yeah.
And
well, I think you did.
Yeah.
I think your readers will think you did. Of course, they don't know any different.
It's
what they do now.
It's a great mystery.
It's
science fiction, but it's really a great mystery.
I mean, I found several ways you could go with several different things in that book. And one thing that kind of like almost stuck in me for a while was the fact that everybody behaved so mechanically, the hotel staff. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, maybe they're automatons.
Well, that's the thing, is we get thinking about what could this be.
Right.
I mean, are they in some type of limbo? Did the Peter and his buddy Charlie, we don't want to do spoiler stuff, but
no.
They're in a car and they're in the desert, and then they end up in this hotel. And you kind of wonder, did they not survive in the desert and they're in some type of limbo?
Are they dead?
Are we in an alternative? Did they somehow, we're in an alternative universe, and sort of forget the first part that you read in a way.
Right.
You're just concentrating on, all right, I don't know how that first part is going to tie into this, but this is obviously where we're at.
Right.
So I'm just going to think about this, and I know this other part of the story's kind of out there, and somehow he's going to have to bring them together. But in the meantime, there's enough interesting things happening in this hotel
yeah.
to to keep your...
I don't know where that big green thing came from.
Oh! I thought you were going to ask me about the blue teddy bear.
Yeah, the blue teddy bear.
That was almost like a Stephen King moment, you know?
You know, we had on the show last week John Hagenberger, and we really enjoy him, too. And when we were talking to him about writer's block, one of the things he says is he'll often ask himself the what if, or if he's trying to decide what to work on next, he'll just say, what if? And that was kind of in my mind because I started reading this book as we were leaving the interview last Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And as I got to the part about the, you know, Peter entering the hotel, I thought, this is one of those, like, what if you were in a hotel and you couldn't get out?
Right.
You know, like, the whole idea of the what if is just such a great premise to thinking about, what if the Earth went through something really major, you know, like it does in the very, very, very beginning. That's not a spoiler alert because you just open the book and, you know.
Yeah, it gets right to the point, right? The first page.
Pretty much.
Boom.
Here we go.
Lava.
Pretty much.
But there's little nuggets in the second chapter, and I think there's a part where a cop will find their car.
Mm-hmm.
And I was dropping little nuggets to try to let you think, okay, does that have something to do with that prologue or not? So
yes,
they're in there, and it sounds like everybody's finding enough of them to make the story work. And, it gets explained at the end.
Right. It's funny because all these cars are being found, but no bodies.
Yeah. Well, and then you do some other fun things. Having had you on the show before, one of the books that we read for the most recent interview was called Perfector's Arbiter, and it was about a ball player been in your family history, too, who ends up being an umpire at a very, very, very important game. And it's a nonfiction. It's a really, really great book. And his name was Pinelli.
Right.
And so I'm reading along, and we've got Peter's boss is, you know, works for this architectural firm. Pinelli something and something. I don't remember the other two names. Are they also family members?
No, just Pinelli.
And then we make reference to old man Pinelli.
Yeah. Well, take it back. There's a Gonzalez, but that's my wife's family. Okay. So I did sneak her in, too.
All right. He's littered this with all kinds of fun things, as authors certainly can do, that make it, you know, like, it's very fun.
It is. It's a really fun read. And I, you know, I applaud you.
Thank you. Well, I released the book on my grandson's birthday. So
there you go.
There's one more connection to the family there.
It's a fun read. And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, it's Richard Polinelli's new book called Escaping Infinity. And if you want to read a real romp into the science fiction realm, this is the book to get. It's so easy to read, and it just really carries you on. It just really, really carries you on a ride.
It's quite a hotel.
It is quite a hotel. I would love to stay there.
You know, do you, on my computer, I guess the pictures come from Microsoft or whatever, but I always have photos that just come up automatically. It's not anything that I have to do with, so I think it must be Microsoft. And lately there's been one that just comes up on my computer that reminds me of the hotel when you look up to the top and you can stand in the lobby and look up. Tell us what you see when you stand in the lobby and you look up. What do you see in the hotel?
In the Hotel Infinity?
Yeah.
You don't ever see the top. No matter how high you go, there's always, you know,
another 10 floors.
Another 50 or 60 floors above it. There are some room numbers that are actual dates that have some importance to me. One is my wife's birthday, one's mine, and then the other one is our wedding day.
Oh, so when we get to the room numbers that are like 5 and 6 digits?
You'll
6 digits?
You know, not all of them, but I was weaving in all sorts of stuff.
Oh, that's really
which
fun.
Is what I did with the book, too, because I would, you know, I swear, I went through my genre closet and just grabbed a dash of this and a little bit of mystery and some thriller and some monsters and some Western and... stir it all up and let's see what happens.
Yeah, we got a little Western elements in there. Tell us about some of the Western elements.
Well, I wanted to have the one character come from the West, and I wanted their story to be pretty significant. And so I needed to have the character be off. I'm just going to do this. She had to be off by herself. And I'm trying to figure out how in the world this could all happen, where she could survive long enough for the hotel to collect her. And I looking through some old history books, and I came across a wagon train massacre that actually occurred, mm-hmm. and the year is just gone from the brain because those brain cells
1857.
Died. 1857.
Yeah. It's before the Civil War. Yeah.
So I tacked them onto that wagon train, and they split off before the massacre hit, so that's why their names won't show up if anybody goes looking. But they were connected to that, and then it was little things like that I thought would help the story, help make it a little bit more believable.
Mm-hmm, and feel familiar territory for
right.
in each genre, depending on what you like to read.
Right, right.
Certainly that genre spoke to me, and later on we've got a gold miner, and you know, and of course we talk about the cobbler.
Yeah, Charlie takes him off the beaten path looking
cowboy
for the cowboy cobbler.
Yeah.
So that will be the lesson. Be careful what you say to a writer. We will find a way to use it.
Well, yeah, we know that.
So is it premature to ask what are you working on next?
I've got the last two books of the Jack Del Rio series that I need to get. They should be done and off my plate by April.
Wow.
Betrayals came out two months before Escaping Infinity did.
Right.
So it's out there. And I do have to send a thank you out to Argus Publishing real quick because I meant to do that last time I was on.
Okay.
They stepped in when the original publisher of the series had to back out. And they stepped in and they picked the series up and they're gonna finish out the rest of it. So another 1,000 blessings to William Connor back east for coming in and kind of coming to our rescue.
Cause there was at Argus.
It was about a week and a half where I was like, oh boy, this is not good. But they came in and did it. So I got to get those two books done. And then after that, I'm going to – the next six projects I have lined up are all sci-fi.
Wow. Yeah, all sci-fi. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
See, he's trying to beat Christina.
he's up
I'm
free.
Finding that
I've got him by two books.
I'm finding that I really am liking sci-fi because we've read a number of sci-fi things now.
I'd like it if it's well-written.
Well, yeah, but I feel everything that I have read so far from our authors is
well. Yeah.
But it is really takes your imagination on a totally
but this,
on
this book
kind of
didn't
ride.
Read like science fiction.
Yeah. It's a funny little book.
Fantasy, it's almost I don't know.
It read more I can't put my finger on how it just read it never made me question what they were doing. What was this? What was this? How come this happened?
Right,
It never made me question that.
Well, you know, you remember Joe Harrington last year, and we had his book. Takea, and they're in Texas, and they end up underground. And
right.
It's the same. It's kind of a fantasy adventure.
Right.
But you do have to suspend. You kind of have to suspend belief and then just totally buy into the program.
Yeah. Right, right.
So try to go on Amazon and put the three categories they want you to pick for your book to win.
Oh.
What three would you pick?
Well, science, sci-fi.
Sci-fi was first.
I don't know.
Welcome to my world about a month ago.
I don't know. I don't know what I would have picked.
Yeah. We wound up going with time travel and alien contact.
Oh, time travel and
which isn't really accurate, but that's the
tell us about what you're talking about.
When you do the wonderful world of self-publishing or independent publishing, and you go to put your ebook onto Kindle, you upload the manuscript, you upload the book cover, and then you have to pick these categories and they'll give you three options. Escaping Infinity really doesn't fit anything mm-hmm. beyond sci-fi fantasy.
No.
After that, you're kind of like, it could be anything.
Really could be.
There's even kind of a, you know, there's a romance
there,
too.
Oh, there's definitely a romance in there.
There's definitely a romance in there.
With Liz and Peter.
It's an adventure story. It's
I liked them both. Yes. Actually, I liked everybody in the book.
I did, too. And I liked Charlie, too.
I did, too. Charlie was this big fop guy. I mean,
and
you know,
I really liked the commander.
Oh, I think we all did. Well, you know, I mean, all of us sitting in this room did.
Yeah. I liked that in the opening, that the characters in the opening appear to be so very human. We know that they're not necessarily, but they're described, even though you don't really describe their physicalness and such, their emoting and they're behaving and
right.
they're talking with each other as though they're human. And
right.
I really like them all. In the back of my mind, I'm wondering, I wonder if this was, you know, a film, what would they look like? Because I don't think you really tell us.
I do.
Later.
He does tell us.
In the beginning part? I know later.
No, not in the beginning, but he does tell us after they get out of the hotel.
Later on. But and I kind of liked that you chose not to describe them physically to us. And I liked all of those characters.
Yes, I did too. I loved the twist of the hotel and getting out of the hotel.
Yeah.
What a great twist in a book.
Well, that's the one thing that is a priority for me for whatever book I'm writing, whether it's mysteries, thrillers, sci-fi, whatever, is make the characters real enough that the reader's going to connect with them. You may hate them if they're the bad guy. That's fine. You may love them to death, you know, with most of the characters in this book. But once you establish that emotional connection between reader and the character, you can do whatever you want. You still have to present a good story, but you're given a little bit more leeway if they're really in there trying to find out how it's going to work out for these people, and they're, you know, laughing with them when things are going well, crying when they're not. That's what you want, and that's kind of my priority when I write, is I got to make the characters to where you'll connect. And after that, I think we're okay.
Yeah, I mean, we even connected with the aliens.
Well, and I think that writes to that we are all the similar under the skin.
Yeah.
You know, that it's about it's
whether
about
it's
our
scary
heart.
Or not.
I mean, it's about it's about how we love and what motivates us and how we care and or not, you know, good guys, bad guys, whatever. But that there's a similarity of humanness regardless of the exterior.
Yeah, I just the book, it just lends itself really to just a wonderful escape.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, so, a wonderful escape.
It is.
Escaping infinity.
Escaping infinity.
There's a lot of different connotations of infinity in that book too. If you after you've read it and you go back and you look, you're like, oh, okay, it could be that. It's this. A lot of different things involved in that.
We were talking on the way in, and I was telling Richard that I'm surprised that you know Liz didn't call the spaceship the Ark.
Well, I'm sure he could have. Yeah,
he did think about it.
Yeah, it crossed my mind, but it's like that's a little too blatant.
It's too blatant.
Because there's a lot of almost semi-reference to two animals, two this, two that.
And we get some more clearly about that
right.
as we get towards that, towards the end of the book, which we definitely don't want to do spoiler alert on.
But golly, once I thought I was towards the end of the book and I found out I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, there was still a lot more to go. And I go, wow.
Right. Yeah.
I was thinking, man, this is really good.
Well, and it has stayed with me because I keep trying to, you know, there's a football player that enters
quarterback that gets disappeared.
And then I'm thinking that Peter says, well, he remembers about that character, and yet the character enters the scene after Peter does.
Right.
So then I'm like, wait a minute. It's that time thing again, you know?
Right.
Like, wait a minute. How could he remember about that it happened like 20 years ahead, but now this character is just now entering the story and Peter's already there, you know? There were things like that I kind of go, wait, what about?
What was it Professor Brown said in the movie Back to the Future? You're disturbing the time and space continuum.
Yeah.
It's the only explanation
I
have.
And who knew that dinosaurs would end up in Australia?
Yeah, who knew? And that nobody was going to live there.
Oh, yeah, I'm waiting for the Australian readers to get after me about that.
They already have some pretty nasty critters there.
Yeah, it's almost going to be as bad as people in Fresno. Years ago, as a joke for a newspaper I was writing, they were doing a centennial issue. And they wanted to do what would Merced look like 100 years in the future. Well, they call on me to do that.
Oh.
Okay.
Because it was my big, brilliant mouth that, why don't we do that, jokingly? They weren't kidding. They said, no, go for it, do it. So as the story was, Merced 100 years from the future, it's this, this, this. unaffected by the great earthquake that destroyed Fresno, but it was okay because all the residents of Fresno 1 week before woke up and realized, Fresno, yuck, let's go to Bullhead City. So nobody was there. You know, it was just you know, I didn't think they would run it. It was so...
And they did?
So,
and they did. Wow.
And I caught all sorts of grief from people in Fresno.
And Fresno, I guess, right. What are you killing us off for?
Yeah.
Bullhead City, who wants to go to Bullhead City?
That, well, that's
it's 120 degrees in the summer.
That's why I thought they would never run it. But they did. So I'm sure I'm going to get some letters from Australia.
I'm sure you will. Anyway, did you change your mind on the writer's block? Have you ever figured out what it was and what you could do with it on the actual phenomena of writer's block?
Yeah, because we always have to revisit that. Yeah.
The only thing I do is if I find I'm sitting and staring at a blank screen and can't get anything going is I don't try to force it.
Yeah.
I just, you know, just walk away for a day or two or three or however long. And with me, and I blame this for working for newspapers on a daily basis, because you have to write anywhere from 800 to 3,000 words a day, 5 days a week. You don't get writer's block.
Yeah, I can't.
In that. So I don't run into it as often. Or as much, but when I do, I just, you know, walk away for a day a little bit, and eventually that itch is going to get me, and I'm going to be fine. You know, it's just, I guess the only advice I would give is just don't force it. If you force it, it's just going to make it worse.
Right, right. And now Hagenberger had a little bit to add last week. You know, he's always got something to add, so...
Yeah, because I think that's... Is that when he talked about the what if that he'll ask?
Yes,
that?
No, what if? I know she hit her microphone.
I'm not the only one who does that.
No, I hit mine occasionally, too. So.
What else did he say?
He went really big into the what ifs.
Yeah, he did.
Because that's when he has to stop and he goes, what if? And then he just creates this whole scenario.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did with Escaping Infinity and most of my books is what if. And not to give away too much spoilers, but there was a stretch where we had movies and TV shows of aliens coming and mm-hmm. wiping out the Earth.
Right.
And I got to think, well, what if they show up and they're not trying to knock us off, but they do it anyway by mistake?
See, what if?
It's a, you know, it's such an easy thing to have happen.
Yeah.
We've all done that in our lives. I didn't mean to delete that, you know?
Yeah, oh, I know. Oh,
I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to, you know, whatever.
But I kind of got that concept from The Time Machine, the remake that they came out with.
Oh, yeah, with Malcolm McDowell.
That's Time After Time. Time Machine was Guy Pearce.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I'm drawing a complete Jeremy Irons. And he's the bluish character toward the end talking to H.G. Wells, and he said, you're a person haunted by two words, what if?
Uh-huh.
And that kind of clicked with me, and yeah. I kind of carried that with uh-huh. me as that's the way to start, what if? And then you get to the next one, well, what if this? And just go with that.
That's great two words to start a book with,
mm-hmm. yeah.
what if?
Mm-hmm.
Got a fantasy story, what
mm-hmm.
if?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you wake up and you're still in your bed and you still have a backache. And
trying to wonder where the blue, big giant blue teddy bear is.
Yeah, and the big giant blue teddy bear.
Where did that come from?
I asked my mother, I said, did I have an issue with teddy bears or something? She goes, no, the only stuffed animal you ever played with is a red fox. I'm like, well, there goes that idea. I have mm-hmm. no idea where that blue...
And he was a comedian.
Yeah.
Gotta nice. Watch it, Richard.
Yeah, I know. I walked into that one. But no, I have no idea where the blue bear came from. But he's there, and he works. So
yeah, he does. He does. So Richard's book is Escaping Infinity, and you can find it at...
Amazon.com.
Yes, you can. I know for a fact. I almost bought a copy today.
Now, you on your website is great because you have links to interviews and blogs and all kinds of things. So why don't you take a moment, too, and just before we forget, let's tell people where they can find you online.
And then we're going to talk about the Cowboy Festival.
Oh, there we go. You can find me at www.richardpolinelli.com.
Spell yes. Polinelli.
I will spell Polinelli for you. It's P as in Paul, A-O-L-I-N-E-L-L-I. And you go there and you will see a 4-page website that has the first page. You'll have all my books lined up there. You click on the cover and it will take you to Amazon where you can order it. And then like she mentioned, we've We've got all my interviews online with online publications. If I've done a radio appearance like this one, it'll be on there, and a couple of guest blog posts that I've done where I managed to tie in a mystery thriller with the band Genesis.
Oh.
I'll leave that one. Y'all going to have to go.
I'm going to go there.
I got to go back to his website and check that one out.
I have time now. So.
Go find out how the Genesis song Mama became Legacy of Death.
Wow, look at you. Wow. And, you, of course, your email address is?
rp@richardpaulinelli.com.
Facebook?
That one, you're going to have to find my author page. It's author Richard Paulinelli. Somehow in setting that up, it got a little weird. So just search for me with the word author. I've got another one, but that's for family. So
gotcha. Okay.
If it says author Richard Paulinelli, that's the one to go to. On Twitter, I am at Scribes Shade.
Scribes Shade.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's two S's.
Plural.
It's going to be Scribes and then Shade. Capital Shade.
Okay. Gotcha.
Remind us, do you have a literary agent still?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
And how did you find, how did revisit that? Because some of our listeners may not know. I'd love to know about it.
After I wrote Reservations and decided I wanted to go the traditional route, I spent about a year querying, I think it was 182 agencies, and found one, and the rest is history.
Yeah,
off we went.
There you go.
And I also have done two Sherlock Holmes anthologies. One just came out.
Yes,
I want to mention that one. It's Holmes Away from Home, and I'm one of 20 writers who contributed to that. And mine actually brings Irene Adler into a case.
Ooh.
Down in the south of France.
Wow!
But it deals with that time frame when he had allegedly died at the falls before he came back. And so the 20 of us came up with what he was doing for those 3 years. And
the what ifs.
Yep. So I have him.
Refresh my memory. Isn't that where Moriarty pushed him off the bridge?
Well, yeah, no, that was what they thought.
They grappled.
Had both fallen. And it turns out that only Moriarty had gone over and Holmes stayed in hiding.
Gotcha.
So It's a good book. It's a two-volume set. It was so many stories that we had to break
They're
it
wonderful.
Up in two volumes.
Yeah, you read one.
I read all of volume one.
Yeah.
I haven't read volume two.
I'm in volume two in the back because we did it in chronological order, and I was right toward the end of it. So.
Right. Yeah, volume one was wonderful. We talked about it the last show.
Yeah, we did.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, we did. Now let's get into the Cowboy Festival because Richard is going to be one of our featured authors.
He will be there
on Saturday the 22nd.
The 22nd.
And I want cowboy cobbler, so I want a bowl of it on my table.
Let me kind of give you an idea of how that's going to happen for you. They have runners,
okay,
and they're kids and they're great. These kids are just like phenomenal, and they all wear what. Like blue T-shirts or green T-shirts or red T-shirts.
They're identified as volunteers and working as runners.
And they come by and they ask you during the day, can I bring you anything? And, of course, early in the morning, the first thing you say is coffee. And then cobbler, and they'll bring you lunch. And you just give them the money, and they'll bring it back for you.
They'll tell you what to, it's almost like a little menu so they know
just
what you want.
Keep me supplied in Dr. Pepper and Cowboy Coffee.
And I'll tell you what, if you tip them well, they'll be there every 15 minutes if you want some.
Yeah, it is a really wonderful thing about the festival. One of the things
they are
for
really
folks
great.
That are
I gotta get me a hat.
Manning booths and such
hat.
Is.
I don't have a cowboy hat. I got to get me one.
All right.
Oh, I've got several if you want one.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I got this big head. I don't know.
I have one that'll fit you.
Do you know your hat size?
7 7/8.
Oh, 7 7/8.
I got a 7.5 that'll probably fit you.
A little tight, but we'll give it a shot.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it'll be great fun. The Buckaroo Bookshop, this is our, we've started in 2009, so whatever this is, eighth year. Maybe. And we'll be in a booth over by Hart Hall on the grounds of William S. Hart Park, free with admission to the festival, where they are 10 to 6 on Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
Richard is with us on Saturday.
Right.
Jeff MacArthur is with us on Sunday.
Yes.
And
Two Gun Heart.
Yes. And we also will have a stage this year. This is the first time we'll have an Out West stage where we have on the half hour, we have 20 minutes of live music. And on the hour, we have a 20-minute presentation of something to do with the written word.
Right.
And you can find all of that information if you go to the festival's website, just cowboyfestival.org, and then click on venues. And then find Buckaroo Bookshop. There's a picture from last year's Buckaroo Bookshop, and click on that, and you'll see the full list of participants, right, who's coming. And you can also click on the schedules for Saturday and Sunday, so right, you can see who's actually doing presentations on the stage. We haven't had a stage before.
Never.
We've done some presentations in the, like, when we were at Melody Ranch in the back room. Mm-hmm. Last year was a little different for us. We had a little smaller space, so we couldn't do anything right, publicly. It's wonderful to have the opportunity to do yep, public presentations again. So we're really looking forward to this. We've got some new people joining us, and we've got some alumni coming back.
Returning. We have the twins will be there.
He's referring to Eric Heisner and Al Bringus. A couple of gals we haven't had in a couple of years will be back. Margaret Brownlee. So excited to have Margaret back with us.
And Cheryl.
She's got a new Western romance that's just come out. That she's another prolific writer.
I know.
Amazing. And yes, Cheryl Rogers Barnett, yep, the daughter of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. Will be back with us. We haven't had Cheryl for a couple of years.
Yeah.
She'll be doing two presentations on Saturday. She'll be doing one on the triggers, because there was actually more than one.
Right.
And on Sunday, she'll be talking about Roy and Dale as royalty, Hollywood royalty. So it's really just such a fun time. And if you really would love to talk to some writers, oh my gosh, this is a great time yeah, to come loaded with your questions. They love to talk. It's all about talking all day.
It really truly is. And you know, we sit there and we talk to people all day long. They wander in, they wander out. Last year, there a little lady, I don't know, Chinese, maybe Japanese, she came in and she just started at JR.
Oh, uh-huh.
And she went around the table and she bought books from every single one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time Sunday came rolled around, we were all out of books. Everybody was out of books. I think Dale had maybe had one or two left, and the twins maybe had one left, and I was like had one left, and that was about it. Nobody had anything left. So we do sell a lot of books there.
On our website, scvoutwest.com, you can click the word shop and then look for Buckaroo Bookshop as a category. And if you click on that, you'll see I'm in the process of finalizing it, but you'll see books of all of the participants and our CDs of our musicians that right, are performing. And I have it set up that if you would like it to be signed, or you would like it to be personalized, there's a way that you can
right,
say that. And you'll have to wait for the book to, you know, right, get to you at the end of April. But we're happy to take your order.
Absolutely.
And be able to have an author sign or personalize a book for
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely. And we love doing it. Yeah. It's just so much fun. You get to, just talking to these people. it's like just 2 days of just happiness.
Yeah, and you'll see kids and families, and you'll see people in, you know, t-shirts and shorts and sandals, and then you'll see folks that are very steampunk dressed, kind of walking out of the 1870s, but with like mechanical arms and different kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see traditional Western, non-steampunk, just traditional Western wear, and then you'll see the Hollywood, you know, beautiful embroidered shirts like Out West sells, and you'll see every kind of, you know, just the people. It's just very exciting.
It is fun.
In our community in Santa Clarita, this is people come from all over the world to attend this event. This is a very well attended, almost international event.
Yeah, and Peter's always got a bunch of
really,
celebrities
really
up at his table. So.
Right, Peter Schreiker will be with us again, and he will be doing a presentation on Saturday afternoon about how to persevere in the Western film industry.
Right.
And
he should know.
And he should know. He's going to talk a little bit about the business of Western filming. So,
right,
yeah, we just invite you to come on out.
Yeah, come out, and I'll be there. I'll be there both days. And Bobby and Jim will be there, of course. They'll be running around like crazy people. But for no other reason to come to the Cowboy Festival, Peach Cobbler.
Yeah. I got to find out if it's as good as the book.
That's what people say. Come for the cobbler and
stay for the music.
Well, it's going to be a weird thing for me because I'm going to be there Saturday. So I've got the Cowboy Festival in April. And then in September, I may be going to Atlanta for Dragon Con.
Well, there you go.
This is going to be like one extreme to the other for me. So it's going
not
to be,
necessarily.
I don't know. I've seen some photos from Dragon Con. It's like, okay, I'm not sure what universe they're
you
in.
You really don't even need to wear a cowboy hat.
Oh, I'm going to be in Texas at the end of the month. I'm buying me a genuine Texas cowboy hat.
Stetson.
I'm getting me a Stetson. So I will show up. I don't know what color it's going to be, but I'll show up with a hat on.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned Cheryl Rogers, that, you know, on all the triggers.
Uh-huh.
When John Williams was here. Uh-huh. About three weeks ago, one of his original horses that he ever got was a trigger.
Oh, Gary Williams?
Gary,
uh-huh.
His horse was a trigger. It was one of the colts that Trigger had sired. And he got, from Roy Rogers, he got this horse. Because Roy Rogers and his dad, I guess, were really good friends. And they went hunting and fishing a lot. And Gary got to go with him. But, his very first horse was a trigger foal.
And that's fun.
Yeah.
It's a small world.
And you know what? The older I get, the smaller the world gets.
The last horse I rode was blind. Nobody bothered to tell me he was blind before I got on.
Yeah.
So he runs out in the middle of a highway and stops because he was listening for the other horses and he lost them.
Oh.
So he's not moving because I'm doing everything to get him. So they had to come riding as fast as they could so he could hear the hooves. And go take off after him as I'm looking at a semi coming at me. So
that'll end up in a book. Has that ended up in a book yet?
Damn sure that's going to end up in a book.
Not yet. But I do have a Western I'm toying with, so we'll throw that in there sometime. Hey, there's a great way to kill somebody. Put him on a blind horse and get him out on the freeway and let the semi.
I had a blind horse and he ran me over in the corral.
Yeah.
I scared him and he came running out of his stall and he just ran me right over. Because he couldn't see me.
Uh-huh. Sure.
You know, and he was so scared until I finally started talking to him and it calmed him down. And
yeah. I was about ready to bail on him and just, if you want to be out here, fine. I don't want to.
Bit of advice, never bail off a horse.
That's what I was thinking. That's why I stayed with him as long as I did. But fortunately, it worked out. I'm here.
Yeah, there you go.
A little close.
Didn't bail off the horse.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so, you know, you made it out okay.
There you go.
Well, we are coming to the end of yet another wonderful show here on LA Talk Radio in beautiful downtown Sherman Oaks, California, high atop the four-story building, sitting on the corner of, where are we?
Yes, this is not the Infinity Hotel.
This is not the,
I guess. We could be characters in a book.
We haven't.
Are you sure?
I know. That, right? I shouldn't have said that.
You know, I haven't got a key card, so I don't know. But Ronan has one.
Yep.
And, you know, if Ronan has to use his key card, we're all screwed. Because at 9 o'clock, those elevators, they lock up. So, thanks for coming in, Richard. It's always a pleasure having you on the air with us.
And, always.
And always look forward to having you come back. So there you go. And, of course, when you get your new books done, give the bookie a call. He actually got to meet the bookie tonight.
Oh, how fun.
Yep, got to meet the house hound as well.
Yes, you did. The hound from hell. She should live in the Infinity Hotel.
She's a good dog.
She is a good dog. She's my baby. And that was about it for us. Bobby? Love to see you. I'm sorry, I'm just so... Oh, and tomorrow is my last day.
Is your last day in the professional world.
Yes, it is. And now I'll be here just writing books and doing radio shows. And bothering Richard.
And what could be better than that?
Nothing.
Yep. For me, it would be reading books and doing radio shows.
And I'll have more time to help you plan the Cowboy Festival.
There you go.
See? It all works out in the end.
It works.
Or someone's end. I don't know who's. Okay, well, thanks for listening. This is LA Talk Radio. And we are out of here.